If you'd like to turn to John chapter 15. Sorry, my notes are in the wrong order, so just bear with me a second. You'll have to bear with me this morning. I think today it's been, we've got a real sense of freedom, don't you think? Real sense of freedom in this place. I've really enjoyed myself. For you that are new here today, just want to apologize for some of you might think we're a little bit crazy, but more than anything, we just love to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's all about enjoying ourselves with God. Every time I try and preach, I always try to improve what I'm doing. So I always ask for certain people for constructive criticism, one being my dad, one being my mom, one being maybe Marky D at the back. My mom said to me, for constructive criticism, she said, "Josh, what you said was brilliant, just next time don't mention me." So this time I'm making sure I'm not mentioning my mom. Okay. Marky D said to me, "You know, I thought your sermon was brilliant, but next time don't insult people that have Sky broadband packages, TV packages." Marky D is on the PA desk tonight, and he's probably going to filter out anything that he doesn't like. So it's not any technical difficulties if the microphone doesn't work. Okay, so you might experience just a few periods of silence. To a T, Mark. Very, very good. Okay. May I just add to my sermon before I start? Okay. I don't profess to being a theologian, okay? And this is purely my interpretation of this scripture, John chapter 15, okay? It's through my own research and the doctrine that I've chosen to adopt in my own life, okay? But this is my challenge for each and every one of you today, okay? Is to test John chapter 15 for yourselves. Okay, you have John chapter 15 in your hand. Gather your own opinion on this and learn to apply this to your own life, okay? The application is going to be the most important. Don't just take my word for it, okay? Don't just take what I'm saying as truth, okay? Test it yourself, challenge it, and at the end of my sermon, challenge me, okay? If there's something you don't agree with, challenge me. Paul talks about challenging your other Christians, your brothers and sisters in Christ, okay? So let's read John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. Okay. It's about the true vine. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away." So that's good. He works in us, okay? "And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Who in this room wants to bear more fruit? I know I want to bear more fruit. And, you know, God is working in you. So say to the person next to you, "God is working in you." Okay. It says, "Abide in me and I will in you." What a promise. Okay. When you abide in God, he's going to abide in you. "As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches." Do you think he's trying to get a point over here? My English teacher used to say to me, if you see something written more than once, it means you've got to stand up and take notes. They're trying to say something. "He who abides in me," again, "bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it should be done for you." Okay? "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." So I'm just going to go through the boring bit first, where we just talk about the scripture itself. When we're interpreting a parable, it's really important that we don't add our own imagery. Okay? So we really look at the key facts of what's here, okay? We're going to look at the context of when this scripture was written, okay? And we're going to also look at other scriptures that relate and support to it, okay? So we're going to look at the verse, start at verse 2, actually. It talks about separation from the vine. Okay, I want you to imagine the vine, okay? We've got Jesus as the vine, okay? God, who's the vine dresser, and we're the branches on the vine, okay? So we're connected to Jesus. Okay, it says in verse 1, Jesus, it says, he is the true vine, okay? The one true vine, okay? Separate yourself from the vine and conform to the world. Not only will you no longer bear good fruit, but the vine will be cut and it will hurt. Okay, Jesus is the only way. Okay, we can get sometimes, as Christians, one foot in the world and kind of one foot with Christ. But that's not what God is calling for us to do today, okay? As Christians, if we separate ourselves from the time we spend with God, from the Christian role models that will advise us through their own experiences on how to stay on the narrow route to God, okay, we are shooting ourselves in the foot, okay? As Christians, it's really, really, really important, okay, that we stay in line with God, okay? If you do not spend time with God, okay, you're shooting yourself in the foot. Okay, I've realized I've kind of skipped a page, sorry. Okay. So we're going to look at the content of the scripture, okay? It was written when there was the Passover at the Jewish festival, okay? It was just before Jesus' crucifixion, okay? It would have been in the upper room with Jesus' close followers. He probably would have been with his disciples and his family. Okay, so we're going to look at the scripture and why it was to those people, okay? Okay, the Passover would have been practiced for about 2,000 years by the Jews in remembrance of how Moses brought the Jews out of Israel and their journey towards the Promised Land. And also in the scripture, Jesus knew. It was just before his crucifixion. He knew he was going to be crucified. And he knew that Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, was going to betray him. In fact, Judas had just left the building before he preached this message. Okay, so I'm just going to use my artistic license a bit here. I could imagine this would have been quite an emotional time for Jesus. Okay, although it's hard to understand, okay, we know Jesus was fully man and he was fully God. Therefore, we lived a life without sin and was pure. He was still human. Therefore, he would have still had human emotion, okay, in life as we do. We knew why Judas Iscariot had left the building to betray Jesus. Judas would have been a very close friend. So it could have been a little bit of an upsetting time for Jesus. I would have thought this was quite an emotional message into the end on earth. Okay. Now, I don't know any of you have been by the bed of somebody that's about to die. But I don't know about you, but if I was there, I would really be wanting to grasp on to the last words that they're going to say. They're probably going to say something really profound. And I just think, you know, this was some of Jesus' last times. Not that I think a lot of what Jesus said was profound, you know, it was planned. But I really think this is a really important message. It's something for us to grasp hold of. We know that Jesus also must have inspired the disciples, okay? He must have, through this message, because we might not be here today, okay? Jesus would have used this message. It was aimed at the disciples, and it probably strengthened them to do the work that they had to do. It probably strengthened them to reach out to the gospel, and it came to this country here, okay? So I believe the audience of this parable would have been the disciples, okay? Now, don't get me wrong, okay? This scripture is for us, okay? So I would suggest that we don't use this as a tool to evangelize necessarily to people. Although it is the gospel, I wouldn't say that it would be wise for us to say to people that are non-Christians, you are a bad branch and we're going to cut you off and we're going to be burned, okay? This is for us, okay? This is something that you can take off. This is about the relationship with Jesus Christ. We look at the context of when it was written, okay? It was written with Jesus, with his close friends, his close followers, okay? This is a message, guys, for you and I, okay? I just want that to hit home for those of you that are already followers of Jesus Christ. It says this in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. He's talking about people that already have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think about that's about a lot of what we've been thinking today, about our relationship with Jesus Christ. In verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, okay? Sorry, just bear with me a second. But I don't believe... Yeah, Jesus says, I am the true vine, okay? It doesn't mean... It might mean that there's actually a bit of a false vine, okay? We can have one foot in the world and one foot out of the world. Okay, that doesn't mean that we should separate ourselves from the world, okay? When it says, I am the true vine, it doesn't mean that when we follow him, we should ignore everybody else in the world. This doesn't mean we should cut relationships with people who do not have a belief in God, but we shouldn't be influenced away from our beliefs, from our connection to the vine with Jesus Christ. After all, we know that Jesus wanted the disciples, okay, to strengthen their relationship with Jesus and to continue the outreach into the world, okay? People who are not part of the vine. So again, to reiterate, okay, I'm not saying we should cut bad relationships with the world, but Scripture says we should be in the world and not part of the world, okay? Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Separate yourself from the vine, okay, and you are shooting yourself in the foot as a Christian. That's what I believe, okay? How many times do we hear of good Christians, okay, that fall out of church? Fall out of church because they focus, maybe, we even hear ministers, people that are in church, and they just seem to fall out of a relationship with Christ. Why do they do that? Okay, it can be so often that we can focus on the things that we've got to do for God that we forget to spend the time with him. Jesus says this in verse 4. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit for itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Okay. I want you to imagine a tree, okay? If you were to cut off the branch off a tree, the branch is dead. The branch is not going to be bearing fruit, okay? If you cut yourself from Jesus Christ, you're not going to be bearing fruit, okay? You have to be in direct relationship with the Father every single day. Ezekiel 15 verses 1 to 5 says this, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, how is the wood of a vine different from that of a branch of a tree in the forest? Is wood ever taken from it to make anything useful? Do they make pegs from it to hang things on? And after it is thrown on the fire as fuel and the fire burns both ends, the chars in the middle, is it then useful for anything? If it was not useful for anything when it was whole, how much less can it be made into something useful when the fire has been burned and it is charred? Okay, you have a branch that's cut off, it's no use. It's only used for firewood, okay? You see, it's important that we don't overlook the main goal in our life. Sometimes as Christians we can concentrate on the fruits. You know, I know that in my youth work, you know, I think one measure I could be measuring my ministry by is how many people I get to the youth group on a Friday. Or how their relationship is with Jesus Christ, okay? But that's not the main goal in life, okay? As human beings, we naturally look at what we can achieve as people, okay? What great career paths we can go down, what great families and friendships we can develop. We measure our success on worldly things, or on how big the fruit or the ministry on our branches are. How many times do we say, oh, I wish I could lead worship like Ian. I wish we could lead preach like Robin. I wish I could be more outgoing. I wish I could be more of this. But eventually, if that is our focus, okay, we're still going to need to be cut off. Because our focus shouldn't be on how big the fruit is, okay? It should be on our relationship with Jesus Christ. So I want you just to do something for me. Just separate yourself from the people in the room. Don't move away from them necessarily. But just imagine yourself separate, okay? This is direct relationship with you and with Christ. This is you as a branch connected to the vine. Okay. Then our fruits will flourish, okay? When we concentrate on Jesus Christ, our fruits start to flourish, okay? We allow God to prune us in our life. And pruning is a bit of a difficult, is a bit of a hard situation sometimes, okay? Sometimes God lets us go through difficult times. Who's going through a difficult time at the moment, okay? God lets us go through these difficult situations to grow us, okay? I don't know if anybody knows much about pruning or anyone's a gardener here, but if you prune a plant and you chop it back, the fruit that it grows or the way the plant grows the next year will grow back even bigger, even stronger, even fresher. Okay? And sometimes, you know what, God needs to just cut back all the rubbish in our lives. He needs to prune us. Okay? Life as a Christian isn't easy as soon as you say, I'm going to be a Christian. Okay? It doesn't mean you've got God in your life. That everything is going to be brilliant, okay? It's a process in your life. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit from itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. We sung that scripture earlier. Except in this unity, we're in Christ Jesus. We're in Christ Jesus. We've got to abide in Christ Jesus. Abide means to wait for, to remain in a place, to be sure of, to conform or comply, to be obedient to have everlasting and time enduring. Okay. When we are in Jesus Christ, we need to be in Jesus Christ in everything, in every area of our life. You know, God wants to have this relationship with us. But we can't just have one foot in the world and one foot out. Okay. We've got to spend time with God through everything that we're doing. Okay, you know, I admit at times, there must be some days where I find it difficult, maybe. I have a difficult day or I have a busy day and maybe I neglect my time with God. I think we can all relate to that sometimes. But it's really important that every day we set that time aside. Ask yourself the question, today, have I set time aside with God? It says you cannot bear fruit by yourself, okay? Again, if you cut off the branch, it won't bear fruit. It's going to rot, okay? Now think about the vine, okay? You've got the vine in the middle, which is Jesus Christ, and with the branches. What does the vine do to the branches? What does it give it? Nourishment. It gives it nourishment. So when we are in direct connection with God, he gives us strength each day. Okay? The branches are constantly looking out for nourishment so they don't wither, like it says in the scripture, but they stretch out. Okay? And you know, that's kind of why we sometimes raise our hands when we're worshiping. We're stretching out to God and saying, you know what, God? I want more. I want more of you, Lord Jesus. I want to worship more and more of you. So why else is it good to be connected to the vine? Okay, if you want God to do a work in your life, if you want to be transformed, if you want to see God work in your life, you must be connected, otherwise he's not going to prune you. Okay? Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. If you're bearing your fruit, and maybe in your ministry, if you're feeling a little bit stale, he may have just given you a little bit of pruning. You've got something bigger. You've got something more ahead of you. Who out of you here have had a vision that has just seemed to got trampled on? Or who have ever really wanted to do something I've been passionate about, and then something has just got in the way, an object that has just stopped you? I know I've had that time somewhere. I think, you know what, God, this has got to be God. And I go somewhere and it's like I hit a brick wall. But you know what? It's part of the pruning process. Good one, pruning process. I know for me, like, I think it's probably patience. It's a good one for patience, isn't it? Have you ever stopped to think why you go through hardships and hard times? Okay? It's so we can learn. We can be pruned so that we bear more fruit. Okay? God is the vine dresser, and I know and knows the best for your lives. Okay? Whatever situations you find yourself in, accept this promise, okay? It says, so you may bear more fruit, okay? God has got that promise in your lives, okay? He's going to prune you so you bear more fruit. Again, turn to the person next to you and say, I am a work in progress. Okay, so what are we doing when we're tapping into this nourishment every day? When we receive this nourishment, okay, we're taking hold of his promise, okay? Listen to this, verse 4, abide in me and he is abiding in us. You abide in God, he doesn't forget you, he remembers you. He's going to abide in you, he's going to believe in you, he's going to encourage you, he's going to re-nourish you. I like that one. I don't know if it's a word, but we're going to do that. Okay, when we are obedient to a life with Christ and in line with his perfect will, when we are doing the Father's work, when we are listening to him, we are fruitful. When we are the branch of God and we're in direct line to hear his thoughts, to carry out his actions, and this will ultimately result in glorifying him, the fruit of Jesus Christ. Okay. Guys, I've got a reality check for you. If you're looking for the fruit for your benefit, it's not. In verse 8, right at the end of the scripture, it says, by this my Father is glorified. It's for the glorification of God, okay? That you may bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples, okay? It's more important that we concentrate on our relationship with God and glorifying God than glorifying him. If our focus in our ministry, whether your ministry is where you work, whether your ministry is looking after your children, if your focus is on seeing those fruits, you probably will not be fruitful. If your focus is having a relationship with Jesus Christ and showing your fruits through that, then you will be fruitful, okay? Take hold of this promise. Okay, take it. If you want it, take it. Okay, tell the person next to you, God is doing a work in you when you are obedient to a life with Christ. Okay, when you abide in Christ, okay? When we accepted Jesus Christ into our lives, we accepted not only his nourishment every day, but that we have been forgiven, okay? This gives us our entitlement to be fed every day. Let me tell you guys today, there is nobody in this room that is above sin. There is nobody that deserves the love of God, but Jesus Christ died on the cross for each and every single one of us, okay? That is why we deserve the nourishment. It's through grace. None of us actually deserve it, but we serve a loving Father. We serve a Father that loves us. Okay, if you don't feel loved today, let me tell you, God loves you, okay? He's got good things for you, okay? You are entitled to receive these things. It's in Christ that we're in, okay? It says in verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken over you. Abide in me and I in you. He is abiding in you already. Are you abiding in him? That is the question. If you have accepted Jesus Christ in your life, are you receiving this nourishment every day? If not, why? You've got direct access for it Why not use it? It's like when you're driving a car, why would you push it up the street when you can use the accelerator? It's stupid. If you've got direct access to the Lord Jesus Christ, take it, take hold of it. Don't let the enemy tell you that you're useless, okay? That you don't deserve the nourishment of God, because this doesn't fall in line with this scripture. Guys, I'm begging you, let's receive this nourishment every day, okay? You will all know that if a baby or a child does not receive its nourishment, it stunts its growth, okay? Jesus says we should be more like children. So we are able to learn more, okay? But you know what? We are all children. We're all still learning. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian for. It doesn't matter how long you've been there, okay? You are still learning, okay? You're still at a point where your growth can be stunted. It's not until we're in paradise, and I doubt then I'll be the all-knowing. I don't want to stop learning about God. I think he's amazing. Okay, you will all... I'm asking you the question, okay? Don't receive the lies of the enemy. If any of you are in a stale place now, okay? Don't believe the negative words that people have told you, okay? You're in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You deserve that nourishment. You deserve it, okay? Guys, when our brain sends out orders through our central nervous system to our muscles on the body will carry out the action perfectly, like slap myself in the face or speak to you or hit a tennis ball, okay? However, if the parts of the body are not in line with the central nervous system, okay, the instructions can get scrambled, misinterpreted, or even missed, okay? This is known as motor neuron disease. Guys, I want to ask you the question, does our spiritual life sometimes reflect symptoms of motor neuron disease, okay? Our communication with the central nervous system, with the vine, okay? Our communication, does it sometimes get scrambled? Do we not always hear from God? I would suggest the more time you spend with God, the more you hear from God. You know, I don't, sometimes, you know, in our family, we live quite busy lives, I guess, and sometimes we get a miscommunication sometimes if somebody's out late at night and we don't see them the next morning and we forget to pass on messages. And, you know, if you don't see the person, you don't get the message, do you? You know, or if you're so busy in life sometimes, you're just going to miss the point, okay? What is your communication like with Jesus Christ? Every second of the day, are you in line with the Holy Spirit, okay? It is the link between the central nervous system and the body of Christ, okay? From the day of conception, you had the Holy Spirit within you. From your day of salvation, it released the Holy Spirit upon you, okay? Do you feel the Holy Spirit in this place? When we were worshiping God, did you feel the Holy Spirit? Did you feel the presence of God? Or are you even connected to the vine? Okay? Or are you a branch that needs to be cut off and burned because, well, you might as well be because you're not doing anything else. Okay? I would suggest to all of us here, when we welcome Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we were privileged enough to hook up to God's central nervous system, and immediately we had access to the Holy Spirit. But unfortunately, sometimes our connection between us, the part of the body, and the Holy Spirit weakens. Okay, it's a bit like your wireless connection, internet connection at home. Okay, even BT Infinity sometimes can't keep up. Okay, you kind of lose the connection with God. It gets a bit busy in life. It isn't the Holy Spirit's fault, okay? He's part of God, therefore he's perfect. It takes you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. No, I believe God is here now. I believe, I challenged the young people on a Friday. I said, you know what? For those of you who don't believe in God, I challenge you to ask God, if you're real, show yourself to me. And I said to them, you know what? If you pray that prayer, God will come into your life. If you're not receiving this nourishment today, if you're not receiving God, ask for it and it will be given to you. So It's all about the receptivity to God. Okay? Guys, are we receiving the fruits of the Spirit? In Galatians 5:22, verses 23, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are you receiving those fruits in your life at the moment? They're the fruits of the Spirit, okay? If you're not receiving those fruits at the moment, if you can't see them, you need to ask God to have a sort of a work in you. It may be that you've got some of them, and God is working you, and he's pruning you, and that's great. If you don't see those fruits in your life now, then maybe there might be something wrong with our communication with God. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, okay? God has not given us a spirit of fear, okay? Are we afraid to tap into this nourishment today? Do you know, are you a little bit scared or a little bit creeped out on a Sunday when you've got these crazy Christians jumping around and getting excited with God? Is it a little bit uncomfortable for you, okay? Or can we be a bit afraid of you saying, you know what, God, I don't really want you to take over my life completely. Just kind of, you know, help me with my finances and my family. But, you know, the little decisions I still want to make, you know. Are you afraid of what God's got in store for you? Okay. So what happens when we have connection with the vine Jesus and have accepted this nourishment? It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. That's quite a big statement. You ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. I remember when I was a child, I think I remember praying to God, you know what, I would love those rocket-powered roller skates. Never really got them. on Friday, I asked the young people. I asked them, "Do you believe in God?" I asked them to write it down. Do you believe in God or not? Okay. And what's your reasoning behind it? One of the young people said, "I don't know whether I believe in God because sometimes He answers my prayer and sometimes He doesn't." Do you know, I can relate to that one. I could relate to that one really well. But it's not about us and the direction of us and just what we want, okay? If you are perfectly in line with the vine, if you are in constant communication with God, you will be making constantly good decisions, okay? If we're perfectly in line with God, we're receiving Him every day, okay? We are part of the body of Christ. We become part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ works for the vine works for the kingdom of God, okay? We all have one common purpose, okay? On this earth, we want to share the gospel, okay? We want to live a life in a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you align yourself with me, you apply my principles into your life. That's what Jesus says, okay? You stay connected to me, you hear my words, you receive my nourishment, you stay in line with God and the direction of the vine, which says in verse 8, to glorify God. When your aim is to glorify God, okay, you will receive what you ask for. Because when you're in line with God, you will ask for godly things. Okay? So many people see this, have heard of this scripture. I bet you've heard of this. I'm not going to tell you where it's from. It says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. And they stop there. They don't read the next bit of the scripture. Okay. It says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Those of you that are parents in this place, if they ask for some food, would you give them a stone? No. Okay. If they ask for a fish, would you give them a snake? No, okay? If then, you know what's evil and you know what's good, you know how to give good gifts to your children, okay? God is not going to give you a bad gift or something that's going to shoot you in the foot. You know, you're not going to give a child a gun, are you? It'd be a stupid thing to give, okay? God has good things for you. So when you are in line with God, you are asking for godly things, then you will receive those things because they're godly things, okay? If you're going after worldly things and you're asking for those things, you probably won't get them because it's not good for you, okay? Therefore, okay, God only has good fruit for us, okay? He may not grant us some of our requests because he wants the best for us. But isn't it amazing that God gives us this power? You can pray and it will happen. When we are in line with God, we can pray. It's like a superhero power with a condition. It's like you, when you are in line with Christ, your prayers will be answered. It's like Superman. He only works when he's doing good things. If he's a bad guy, it just doesn't work. He gets kryptonite. It just doesn't work, okay? When you have the desires of God in your heart, anything we pray for will be answered, okay? And the amazing thing is, it doesn't matter what you've done, okay? We don't deserve this. I don't even deserve to be standing up here in front of you guys today. You know, I'm probably, this sermon is probably aimed most at me in some respects. But it's by grace. When you live a life of Christ, you've been forgiven. You are entitled to this inheritance from the Father, for this nourishment, okay? You're entitled to have the desires of your heart, providing it is good for you, providing it is in line with the purpose of the vine. So that, to the person next to you, it's in line with the purpose of the vine. It says here in John chapter 12, verses 25, Alan spoke on this the other day. He said, anyone who loves their life will lose it, whilst anyone who hates their life in the world will keep it for eternal life. We've got to understand that the direction of the vine isn't for our purpose, okay? It's to glorify God. At the end product, we're wanting to glorify God. And in doing glorifying God, he will abide in you. When we fit into the purposes of God, he will abide in you. So guys, I'm just going to summarize. I'm sorry if I got off to a bit of a shaky start. My notes were in a bit of a wrong order. Guys, are we staying connected to the core when we receive our nutrients? Okay? Otherwise, we're going to wither. Okay, where are you getting your nutrients from? Are you getting them from God? Or are you getting them from the world? Are you getting them from negativity from people or the positive scripture? Are you reading your word of God every day? Okay, this has scripture in. It's positive things spoken over your life. Believe in it. He says, abide in me and I will abide in you. He says he will help you produce good fruits. Good fruits. Let's remind ourselves why we're receiving these nutrients, okay? Let's remind ourselves we are entitled to more from God. Who wants more from God in this place? I want more from this God. That's like every hand up in this place. So why don't we have more? Why don't we have more? We need to receive more. We need to ask for more. And nobody in this room has the right to tell you that you don't have it because it's scriptural. Okay? It says it. It's due to you because God died on the cross for you. Jesus died on the cross for you. It is the living word of God, the truth, and it is your guarantee when you received your salvation. God said, I will feed you. He will give you those nutrients that you need. He's not going to set you up to fail, is he? He's not going to set you up to fail, okay? If you're a little bit fearful of what God's got ahead of you, he's not going to set you up to fail. He is the all-present God. He is always there. Write it on your walls. You have permission to receive his inheritance. You know what? Today, I just felt there was such a freedom in this place when we were worshiping. There is such a freedom because we have that freedom to have that relationship with Jesus Christ, to connect with Jesus Christ. Father God, I just pray over people today, Lord. Lord, if they have had a negative word spoken over them, Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray against that, Lord. Lord, I pray for encouragement. Lord, I pray for fulfillment of the Holy Spirit. Father God, Lord, I pray for the nutrients that they need every single day. Lord, that we will long for more, Lord, just as a branch needs those nutrients to produce that fruit, Lord Jesus, we will look to the vine. We won't look anywhere else. We won't look in the places that we're not going to find fulfillment, Lord Jesus. And guys, and finally, when we align ourselves with the purposes of God, we have the right to our prayers being answered. Amen? When we align with God, we are fruitful, we receive fulfillment and success in our lives. If you were to carry on that verse of scripture onto, I only went up to verse 8, I think. If you go up to verse 9, it says, as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. He loves you. He loves you. He's got good things for you. He says, abide in my love. There's that word again, abide in me. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. If you love him anyway, you'll be keeping his commandments. It's like you don't hurt somebody that you love. If you truly love somebody, you give them good gifts. And that's what God's got for you. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Worship band, would you like to come up and just play? Who wants their joy to be full? Who wants their joy to be full? Who wants their joy to be full? Okay, Jesus sets the example, you will be full. Just abide in his love. Allow the fact to overrun in your life that you are sons and daughters of Christ. And God only has good things for you. Yes, he may prune you, and it will hurt at times, but it's for the better for you. It says, we were singing today. Where is it? This is how we overcome. This is how we overcome. This is how we overcome. Are you ready to overcome in your life? Are you ready to overcome those obstacles, okay? You might have difficult times in your life. You might have difficult times. But you know what? If you overcome, you just look to God. He won't forget you. He's not going to forget you. If we want this life full of nourishment, I'm going to leave you with this. Consider your relationship with the vine of Jesus Christ, okay? Where are you in the stages of your growth? Are you growing or are you withering? Are you stunted or you're about to snap off? Is it important what you do now to improve it? I'm saying it is important you improve now your relationship with Jesus Christ, okay? Don't just take my word for it. Take John chapter 15, take it home today and read it for yourselves. Read the scripture, don't just take my word for it, because it says it, okay? Interpret it yourself, okay? Test John chapter 15 you have in your hand, gather your own opinion on this, and learn to apply this to your life, okay? The application of this is the most important thing. Should we stand to pray? O land, hear the word of the Lord. Lord Jesus, we have the right to be here today because you died on that cross for us. Father God, I just pray, Lord Jesus, today, Lord, that we will get closer to you. Lord, that we will not forget you today, tomorrow, the day after, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Lord. I pray that next Sunday we will have testimonies, Lord, of where people are nourished. Father God, I don't want to go without you today. For those of you that are not Christians today, let me tell you, it's exciting stuff. You need to know more about God. Lord Jesus, work in our lives today. For those of you that are not Christians today, you can tap into the presence of God where you are. It doesn't matter what you've done wrong. It doesn't matter where you are, okay? You can tap into the presence of God. Let's raise our hands now. Lord Jesus, have your way in this place. Have your way in this place, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for freedom in this place. I pray for a freedom over our lives, Lord. I pray for a freedom over our lives. Lord, it might be a little bit uncomfortable through the pruning process. It might be a little bit embarrassing to raise our hands. It might be a little bit embarrassing, Lord, to be in front of people that are just so passionate about a God. You might think they might be geeky Christians. You might be thinking they're strange people. But Lord Jesus, give us strength to worship you. Worship you with everything that we have. In Jesus' name, Lord, have your way in our lives. Amen.